You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027. This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Johannesburg and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
Well, SARS has warned that the combined impact of a slow economy and the lockdown and all the relief measures could amount to a loss of up to 285 billion rands in tax revenue this year, a number so large that I don't think we can quite get our heads around just how big that is. So far, we've seen tax relief measures in the form of a PAYE and provisional tax deferral. We've seen the skills development levy payment holiday. There's the employee tax incentive relief. We've got fast tracking of VAT refunds. Living annuities have been expanded in terms of access, and there are certain donations, for example, to the Solidarity Fund that allow for a tax deductible proportion as well. Let's welcome our tax guest tonight to help cut through the at times confusing menagerie of tax relief measures that's out there. Dr. Albertus Murray, director and founder of New Tax Boutique AJM and a professor of tax at Stellenbosch University. Dr. Murray, welcome.
Hi, good evening, Michael. It's nice to join you.
Now, there are all of these tax measures out there that employers can claim. Let's start with the employee tax incentive scheme. That obviously provides for employers to claim a rebate against their monthly PAYE payments that are required to be made to SARS. How does this work?
So the employment tax incentive scheme, I mean, we all know that this was introduced in a number of years ago to tackle this problem of youth unemployment in the country. So there was an incentive introduced to give an amount per employee between the ages of 19 and 29 to an employer to incentivize employers to employ younger employees. That incentive has now been broadened to allow for the allowance effectively firstly to be increased, and secondly, to be allowable for all employees effectively that are employed by an employer, provided that they are between the ages of 19 and 65, and secondly, the same salary threshold as applied for younger employees, in that the employee needs to earn effectively below 6,500 rand a month. On the pay as you earn provisional tax deferrals, some of your listeners might be well aware of this at this stage, is that in order to bolster cash flow of businesses, Treasury has effectively proposed that pay-as-you-earn may be deferred up to 55% of your pay-as-you-earn that you withhold from your employees. You can withhold and at this stage from paying over to SARS and employ towards business expenditure to try and keep the business afloat. And the same applies to provisional tax. It, of course, needs to be paid later, but it bolsters cash flow quite significantly, and different to the approaches that we've seen in some of the European countries, is that there's no real decrease in tax rates other than for some limited taxes such as the since development levy and such. So the majority of measures introduced aim to bolster cash flow, albeit temporarily.
What are you hearing on the VAT side? For many years, VAT refunds were a real headache, claiming those VAT refunds, and many companies complained that they were outstanding for months, sometimes years on end. What is on the table with regards to VAT refunds?
Yeah, certainly you remember that there were especially complaints during the tenure of Commissioner Mulane. And one of the immediate steps that were taken following his departure was that that revenue wiped out effectively, to a large extent, its VAT refund balance due to VAT, VAT registered taxpayers. One of the interesting relief measures now, albeit again a cash flow measure, is to say that taxpayers can submit their VAT input claims on a monthly basis instead of the ordinary two-month cycle that a VAT period runs. In other words, if I know that I have a net VAT input claim that's due to me, I can submit it now monthly instead of two-monthly. In practice, we've seen varying approaches by SARS in this, and it's one of the interesting things and perhaps potentially confusing things from the crisis is how these things are borne out in practice, is that VAT refunds in some cases are being paid out very quickly. In other cases, we've seen much of the older pattern is that verification upon verification has been triggered by SARS, and so do delaying that refunds owing to taxpayers, and which taxpayers legitimately and desperately in some instances need to keep businesses afloat and keep employees on the payroll.
Is there any reason to believe that this is a deliberate tactic at this stage, as we know the coffers are running dry?
I don't think we've seen an increased practice during the past number of months. In fact, I think that there's been a deliberate attempt by Commissioner Kieswetter to ensure that cash flow remains in the hands of taxpayers where legitimately it is owing to taxpayers. That being said, there is, of course, some in practice that would disagree with that and disagree with that strongly. Sometimes, unfortunately, it is up to which auditor one gets allocated in SARS and how they treat VAT reviews. Sometimes VAT officers simply drag their feet in concluding a review, and which, of course, as I said, has very real practical implications for business.
Absolutely, and that is unfortunate, but that is part of the cleaning up process to try and ensure that through leadership at the top, those individual auditors are doing the job that they are employed to do. Now, if we look at some of the other measures, we've got provisional tax relief as well for provisional taxpayers. So if you're a contract worker, for example, you can also defer a portion of your tax, once again, not writing it off, but just deferring. What are the details around provisional tax, and how exactly does one go about submitting this?
Yeah, so Michael, listeners may be aware that provisional tax applies to non-employed or non-salaried taxpayers, so both natural persons running businesses as well as to companies. So the relief extends to all qualifying companies with a turnover effectively or gross income below 100 million rand. So it is quite significant. It extends quite broadly. What it effectively does is to say that instead of having to pay your first and second provisional tax payments of the first 6 months and at year end on a 50-50 basis of what your estimate would be due, you submit an estimate and only 15% of what you estimate would have been payable for the year needs to be paid after 6 months, and the other 65% then needs to be paid at year end. In other words, there's a deferral of 20% of provisional tax again, and which then is only due with one's third payment, which ordinarily is 6 months after year end. So again, a cash flow measure. Again, one to say that you can defer payment and we're not going to penalize you and to help with cash flow, but yet again, one limited only, unfortunately, to a cash flow deferral.
And what are the requirements to access these relief measures from individuals and firms?
Yeah, so fortunately, there's no application process. It applies automatically. So firstly, it applies to so-called actively trading taxpayers. You need to have less than 10% of your turnover must be comprised of interest and dividends and rental income, passive income in other words. So you need to earn 90% at least or more in active trading income. Your turnover cannot be 100 million rand or more. And of course, thirdly, and quite appropriately, your tax affairs need to be in order for you to qualify for the deferral regime. The problem with this perhaps is that much of these announcements are still in the form of a bill which we have. So it's not part of the Income Tax Act yet. And I think this is a source of quite a bit confusion in practice, is that we see in practice some of the old rules being borne out and being exercised and enforced by revenue, whereas what we know is likely to happen is that the bill gets passed by Parliament in due course, and then, of course, all these relief measures become law and part of the Income Tax Act. So I think that one of the things that should perhaps be focused on is to see whether this bill cannot be fast-tracked and put through Parliament as soon as possible.
As we know, the T-Labs in tax circles, and this is a DM TRAB, I think, an emergency bill that's still outstanding. In the interregnum, as you refer to, Dr. Murray, taxpayers are not being ideally served by this. And I suppose there's an important theme that emerges through all of this. We've got a receiver on the one hand that is short of money, and on the other hand is trying to help cash flow at an employee and company level. So SARS is acting as both the proverbial shepherd and butcher over here. And I think this is going to cause a lot of confusion in practice.
It is. I mean, my interactions myself with revenue has been controversial too, in the sense that it's conflicting approaches that one sees that's being enforced. On the one hand, you see SARS officials that blatantly disregard the extended timelines that have been, for example, published as part of the relief to say that if you owe relevant information that's been required by SARS or whether you're in a specific tax dispute, the lockdown period from 26 March until 1 May effectively don't count as days that you need to count before you need to submit that material. Some officials are simply disregarding it. Other officials, again, are very understanding and have been giving more than generous extensions on the delivery of some of these things. So what I think needs to happen is that there needs to be a clear policy document internally in SARS to clearly state how these things need to be borne out in practice and how SARS officials can discharge their mandate to administratively and procedurally fairly go about in collecting taxes.
Dr. Albertus Murray, Director and Founder of Tax Boutique AJM and Professor of Tax at Stellenbosch University, cautioning taxpayers, I think, to be alerted to this interregnum status that we're currently operating under, where SARS is both the shepherd and the butcher, effectively.